నకి జ్ఞానేన సదృశం పవిత్రమిహ విద్యతే నకి జ్ఞానేన సదృశం పవిత్రమిహ విద్యతే తత్స్వయం యోగ సంసిద్ధః కాలేనాత్మని విందతి తత్స్వయం యోగ సంసిద్ధః కాలేనాత్మని విందతి So Krishna is talking about the jnana phalam. What is the advantage? What is the phalam? The benefit of getting self-knowledge. So he is discussing it from another angle here. Actually, he gives the conditions for knowledge. He says, the knowledge is a great purifier. Self-knowledge is a great purifier. It removes all kinds of impurities. All impurities it removes. Sarva mala nashaha. Mala means all impurities. It removes all impurities. Actually, the other impurities that we talked about in the previous shlokas, papa nashaha, karma nashaha, moha nashaha, it removes all of them. Papam, karma, moha, all those things. Here, the language is changed, but essentially the idea is same. Papam alone is moha. Moham delusion is also papam. Moham comes because of what? Because of karma. Moham comes because of karma. So karma, papa, moha, they are all similar ideas only. And they are not separate. And here also, Krishna puts it in a slightly different language. And he says, sarva mala nashaha. All impurities are destroyed by having self-knowledge. He says, jnanena sadrisham pavitram na vidyate. Jnanena sadrisham pavitram na vidyate. Pavitra means purifier. A cleaning agent, the one that purifies. So in rituals, actually people put pavitram, you know, they when you do yagya mandal, they put a pavitram in this ring finger. They put a pavitram, it's a purifier. It's a purifier. It's made of darbha grass. They make it and put it. Some people make it in gold and put it also. This is pavitram because it is meant for spiritual purification. As water purifies everything, this means for spiritual purification. Actually, literally, pavitram means purifier. Okay, it is derived from the root poo. Poo means poo punati, to purify. So it purifies. So pavitram, pavanam, etc. They all mean the same thing. They are all purification things. Derived from the same root poo. So patita pavana rama. That's what they sing about rama. Patita pavana rama. Here pavana means again purifying God. The God that will purify. He will purify everything. So Krishna says, there is no other purifier which is as great as jnanam, the self-knowledge itself. So he says, jnanena sadrisham pavitram na vidyate. There is nothing that is equivalent to self-knowledge which is as purifying as self-knowledge. So this is a statement. Now we have to understand why Krishna says so. Why Krishna says self-knowledge is a purifier. You have to understand that. Because we have got so many purifiers in our tradition. Actually, if you really see, when we take our rituals, there are so many purificatory steps in our rituals. For example, a particular mantra or a japa, it is a purificatory mantra. Pavamana Suktam purifies. Udagashari mantra, Udagashandi mantras purifies. They are all purificatory mantras. There are a lot of mantras which purify. And what they do, they recite these mantras, they have water in a pot or something, and then after reciting all these mantras, then they sprinkle the water on whatever place it is on the people, then it purifies them with prakshana, with that mantra, which is supposed to purify. So before eating also, what we do, we put some, you know, ghee in that thing, it's a purifier, which is supposed to purify the anna, the food that we eat. Sometimes before a ritual also, they will show all the upakaranas, the spoons they use for the ahuti, they show it in the fire. Purificatory step for those upakaranas also, for that vessel, all that thing, ghee, everything they purify. So water, fire, mantra, and there is also another purifier. For example, you can purify some things with water. Then whatever is not purified, what do you use? Ghee. Then what you use to purify the ghee? Right? So you can go on. So what they do? They will bring the stri of the house and they will make her look at the ghee. Ghee is purified. So, you know, there are various steps by which this is the esteem they give to our the stri, household stris. They give all these such a great importance to them. By this mere looking at the ghee, ghee is purified. Then you use that ghee in doing ahutis and all yajnas, all that thing. So here, nothing will be equal. All those purifiers, whatever you have, none of them will be equivalent to self-knowledge. That is what Krishna says, he claims here. Then we should understand why Krishna says. See, all these other purifiers, they can all remove sins. Yeah, they are purifying what? Sins. Whatever may be the sin, they remove. So they are purifiers. They can remove sins. But they cannot remove what? They cannot remove punya. They can remove papam. But for moksha, you should neither have papam nor punya. So they can remove papam, all right. Sins they can remove, but they cannot remove punya. All the other purifiers cannot, because they themselves are punya karmas. If you do an yajna, it is a punya karma. If you do a puja, it is a punya karma. So by doing that karma, you will gain punya. You cannot get rid of punya. You can get rid of papam. So you cannot get rid of punyam. So punya karma can remove papam, but it cannot remove punyam itself, which is also another papam according to our definition last time. If you remember, when I defined papam, papam consists of three things: papam, punyam, and ajnanam. So ignorance also is a papam. Papam is also a papam. Punyam also is a papam. So when you categorize papam, all these three things are included in papa category only. Sin category only. So if you do punya karmas to remove papam, then why will you, you know, what will you do to remove punya? You cannot have anything to remove punya. So even if you have a karma, hypothetically, there is no karma like that. Even if you have a karma to remove punyam also, then even if there is one, no karma can remove the fundamental impurity called ajnana. Ignorance is the fundamental impurity. No karma can remove it. That we have to understand very carefully. By doing this yajna, that yajna, this big ritual, none of them can remove ajnanam. That impurity can never be removed at all. So you may remove papam, even if you hypothetically have some karma to remove punyam also, this ajnanam can never be removed at all by any of those rituals. So without removing ajnanam, it will be absolutely no use, because ajnanam again will reproduce what? Punya papam. Ignorance alone produces punya papam. So if you cannot remove ignorance, it is going to produce punya papam again. So there is no use at all. It is like cutting the branches of the tree, leaving the root in place. It is going to again sprout, grow later. So that's what we want. So no karma in the world can destroy punyam and papam both. No ritual can do that. And even if there is one, it will not have final destruction, because ajnanam will still remain. So this we have to understand clearly. Whereas jnanam is one, self-knowledge alone is one, which will destroy the root impurity called ajnanam. So ignorance can be removed only by self-knowledge. So by that way, it will destroy punyam and papam also automatically. Right? That's what he is saying here. Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate. There is nothing which is greater purifier than jnanam. What he says. And if the jnanam has to be attained, how do we get it? That is another question. Because, okay, that's the greatest purifier. How do we get that jnanam? Which is given actually in the second line here. Yoga samsiddha vindati. Krishna says in the second line, yoga samsiddha vindati. One who has a purified mind through yoga. One who has purified his mind through yoga, he will attain this knowledge. Such a person alone can give this knowledge, who has purified his mind through yoga. Now we have to be very careful. Here yoga refers karma yoga including upasana, samsiddha. He is the karma yoga and upasana, having become mature, samsiddha. He has become an adhikari now, the person who is eligible for jnana yoga, who is eligible to pursue jnana marga. Such a person, having an integrated personality, yuktaha. A person who is an integrated personality, who is samsiddha, kalena vindati. In due course, kalena. He is not going to get immediately, By Karma Yoga, he got Chitta Shuddhi. He got purified mind. Through Upasana, he got Chitta Ekagrata or Chitta Naichalyam, a concentrated, focused mind. With these two, in due course, not immediately, in due course, Kalena Pindati, he will attain self-knowledge. Because it requires what? Shravanam, Mananam, and Nididhyasana. All these three he requires. So Krishna says, in due course, he will attain this. Tat means that knowledge, swayam, by oneself he will get. Atmani, within himself. By oneself, within himself, that person has to get that knowledge. So he will go through all these karma yoga steps, upasana steps, to purify his mind and also to focus the mind. And then going through shravanam, mananam, and vidyasanam by himself, within himself, he will attain that self-knowledge. Shraddhavan labhate jnanam.
Shraddhavan labhate jnanam. Shraddhavan labhate jnanam.
Tatparasamyatendriyaha.
Tatparasamyatendriyaha. Tatparasamyatendriyaha.
Shraddhavan labhate jnanam. Tatparasamyatendriyaha.
Shraddhavan labhate jnanam. Tatparasamyatendriyaha.
Jnanam labdhva param shantih.
Jnanam labdhva param shantih. Jnanam labdhva param shantih.
Achirena adhigacchati.
Achirena adhigacchati. Achirena adhigacchati.
Jnanam labdhva param shantih. Achirena adhigacchati.
Jnanam labdhva param shantih. Achirena adhigacchati.
So in the following shlokas, Krishna is going to talk about the qualifications or the sadhanas necessary for gaining the self-knowledge. From 39 to the end of this chapter, 4 shlokas, he is going to deal with this subject. So he will also point out what should not be there. In addition to telling what you need, he will also tell you what should not be there, the disqualifications. So both the qualifications and the disqualifications. So in this qualification list, Krishna is going to emphasize one qualification particularly called Shraddha. Shraddha means faith. So he is going to emphasize Shraddha as the Mukhya Sadhana, as the principal Sadhana. Actually, in every chapter, we can find some sadhana or other that has been emphasized. Actually, if you in the third chapter, the chapter that we did earlier, towards the end, what we found? We found Kama and Krodha. They were pointed out there. Kama and Krodha. And one has to get rid of those two things that was discussed elaborately. Kama Yeshaha, Krodha Yeshaha, Rajoguna Samudbhavaha, Mahashano, Mahapapma, Vidyena Miha Vairinam. That was told in the third chapter. And to conquer these two, Kama and Krodha, what he said, Mano Nigraha, the control of the mind. That was emphasized at that time. Mano Nigraha, mind control. Indriya Nigraha, the control of the sense organs. They were all emphasized at that time. So sense control and mind control were emphasized at that time. So in the in the third chapter, what was the sadhana that was mentioned? Freedom from Kama and Krodha. So that was the sadhana mentioned in the third chapter. So in the fourth chapter, we are going to emphasize Shraddha. Shraddha is the faith. Faith in the Guru and scriptures. When we say faith in what? Faith in these two things. Guru and scriptures. Faith in Guru itself is in scriptures. Because Guru says only what is in the scriptures. Guru does not add of his own anything. Whatever, even Krishna claims, whatever he says is all only in the scriptures. So faith in the Guru is adequate. Faith in the Guru and scriptures. So Shastreshu Guru Vakyeshu cha Satya Buddhihi. That is what is called Shraddha. So you should have that firm conviction, that unconditional conviction about the words given by the Guru based on Shastras. So because Shastram is Pramana. Shastram is the authority. So whatever Dharma is to be given is all given in the Shastras. So it is the Pramanam and it is given about by the Lord himself. Shastram is given out by the Lord. It's not man-made. It is given by the Lord. And the Lord cannot have a negative motive at all. He is Lord. Lord is not going to give out a shastram for destruction of somebody. Right? He doesn't have a negative motive. So, it cannot be vipralambaka. So, it's actually in Vedanta, there is another term called vipralambaka. It's a vipralambaka vakyam and apta vakyam. When people make statements, whether it is a vipralambaka vakyam or apta vakyam, you can find out. If it is a vipralambaka vakyam, those words, they can be misleading words. Some people will talk something only to confuse you. Their intention is to make you confused. They don't want you to understand clearly. Yeah, some people are like that, misleading words. So the one who tells things to mislead people with negative motive, there are in schools also, some kids are like that. They will make statements to mislead the other child because they may get the first mark otherwise. All these things are all there everywhere. So even those people who want to sell something, you know, the people who are like salesmen, marketing people, always, they will always emphasize only the positive points. They will say, oh, this will do this, this will do that, all that thing. But what is the hidden thing? They will, this will be all in the fine print. If you listen to the advertisements in the TV, radio and all, when the fine print comes, he talks in such a fast pace, you won't even understand what he talks. But he talked everything. Essentially to mislead you, because they want to hide certain facts. So, they are called vipralambaka, has cheating. So, these are all vakyams, these are all sentences which are meant to mislead you. But pramanam is called aptavakyam. Pramanam, dharma pramanas. Vedas are dharma pramanas. They are the authoritarian texts. So they are called aptavakyas because they know who does not have any negative motive at all. They are interested in your welfare and even though they may not look nice to you. But it aims at your welfare only. So they are called aptavakyam. So vipralambaka vakyam and aptavakyam. So we can never attribute any negative motive to the Lord at all. See, shastras are given by the Lord. We cannot attribute any negative motive to him. So this is what. So he is Karunamurtihi. Right? Lord is Karunamurtihi. Hitaihi. The one who is always interested in your welfare. That is the Lord. So in some places, actually, Shankaracharya, he says, Sahasra Matrubhyaha Api Hitaishini Stutihi. So like thousands of mothers, the Shruti is supposed to be much more compassionate, much more akin to you, much more convincing, much more compassionate. So just as a mother can never wish the ill towards her own children, the Shruti is like that. Vedas are like that, mantras are like that. Okay. So Shruti mother or the Lord can never intend any harm even for the worst person. Even maybe a greatest papi, even to him, Shruti will not mean any harm to him. Because it is, he is a papi because of his own prarabdha, perhaps. So it might be. So in some places, if you take the intention, may be good. For example, if you take parents, intention is very good. But if they are ignorant, if they are not themselves knowledgeable, their intention is they want to guide their children, but they don't have enough knowledge. Then they do not know what is right and wrong themselves. So even though parents may mean good, but they may not know what is right and wrong. So in spite of the best motives, the guidance can be wrong. Right? Because they don't know. It is sheer out of ignorance. So now, motive is not bad, but they are ignorant. Because this can be possible. So why it can be? Because it is what? These are all Paurusheya Vishayas. If it is Apaurusheya Vishaya, like what? Not, these are all human origin. If it is non-human origin, Shastra is not human origin, so it is given out by the Lord, so there is no negative things in that at all. But these are all man-made, so there could be always human error. Even though intention may not be bad, but human error could be there. Because of that, there could be misleading statements, even by parents. So in some cases, knowledge is there, but motive is not good. So people are misled. In some people, motive is good, knowledge is not. So both are possible. So in the case of Ishwaraha, he is Sarvajnaha. Sarvajnaha means the all-knower. He knows everything. And he is also what? Kripa Sindhu, who is the ultimate abode of compassion also. So he is always there only to do good things to people. So he loves everybody universally. Whatever he writes will be for the good for everyone. So that is what the Lord does. So even though sometimes it may appear bitter, just as the mother scolding the child, it appears bitter sometimes, right? But still, her intentions are good. Intentions are noble. And not only Lord has good motive, he has also got what? Sarvajnyatvam. In case of parents, they are not Sarvajnaha. They don't know everything. They know some things, not everything. Whereas Lord knows everything and he has also got a good heart. So whatever he gives out is going to be correct and also good. So his teaching can never go wrong. So that is why Veda Vakyam is supposed to be unquestioned Pramana. Whatever is given in the Vedas is supposed to be Pramanas. It is unquestioned. Supposed to be correct all the time. This faith is called Shraddha. To have that faith that whatever Veda Shastra tells is correct. That is for my good. That unconditional faith for one a person should have, that is called Shraddha. And Krishna says here that such a Shraddha, a person who has got such a Shraddha, one who has got such a great faith in the scriptures, in this context Gita itself. He is teaching Gita here. Jnanam labhate. Such a person, he will definitely get jnanam. So a person who has got such a firm faith in the scriptures, that person will ultimately gain jnanam. Because whatever he reads from the textbook is knowledge for him. Right? Anything. If a person does not have faith in it, whatever he reads, he is not going to believe in them. Right? If he has faith in it, anything you read, unless you have faith in it, you are not going to believe in it, right? So, he will not take it as knowledge otherwise. He will say, it has to be proved by somebody. A textbook gives some statement. It will say this, some statement it will give. He will not directly believe that. He will say, let somebody come and prove this to me. So, for every step, he will ask for proof. Such a person are there. Unfortunately or fortunately, Vedas are talking about what? The absolute truth, not any relative truth, which can be proved by this instrument and that instrument. It is talking about absolute truth, and the absolute truth is not available for pratyaksham or anumana proof. You cannot prove it by any of these methods, because all the proofs that you are going to make are based on what? Your own instruments of cognition, your own sense organs, all the instruments that you have at your disposal. You are trying to use them. They are all limited because they cannot unravel what is given in the absolute truth, namely the Parabrahma. So he will try for a proof which he cannot try because his intellectual instrument cannot prove or disprove the absolute. It can only have proof and disproof in the relative plane, not in the absolute plane. So if the scriptures are talking about a planet, then he can prove it. He can try, he has got some instruments are there to prove or disprove whether the planet exists or not exists. You can do that. So, the scriptures are dealing with something which is not available for any of our instruments of cognition. So, whatever it gives must be direct knowledge itself. You cannot try to prove through something to understand. Whatever it says, you should understand directly yourself. You cannot depend on something to understand. You should understand directly yourself. So, this attitude is called Shraddha. So, whatever the scriptures gives is direct knowledge. If that is absolute knowledge, that faith is called Shraddha. So, Shraddhavan Jnanam Labhate. He attains knowledge. And not only Shraddha is enough, there are some other qualifications are also needed. And what are those? Tatparaha. He must be committed to that knowledge. Not only he should have firm faith in that knowledge, he should be committed to that knowledge. Jnane tatpariyavan. It is not just a casual approach. That whatever little pointed out, I get here and there. It's fine. You know, there are some people, okay, it's nice to go sit in the class for 1 hour of nice time. Maybe we get something here and stop it there. No. There you may get some knowledge, but that knowledge is not a complete knowledge. That knowledge can be here and there, you will hear something that is useful also. It is not useful, it's useful. But that is not complete knowledge yet. Actually, many people are like that. You know, if they listen a few things, you know, they think it's enough. I have listened to that a couple of times. That's enough, no problem. Everybody says, Aham Brahmasmi, I have listened, enough. It doesn't end there. So, I have to know every point because only then it will be one whole wisdom. Otherwise, this wisdom will be bits and parcels. So, there will be lot of disconnections. So, that cannot be there. So, in a disjointed manner, in a disconnected manner, I know a few points here and there. So, that wisdom will not be complete and it will not be a whole wisdom at all. It is like, many times, this is possible. Many people, we know that all the time. We may know certain things in packets, but not fully. So, all points must be clear. Then alone, jnanam is possible. So, to par jnana means what? We are talking about self-knowledge, atmic jnana. So, otherwise, there will be some ideas here and there which will be useful. They can be inspiring also. We don't negate them. They are inspiring ideas also. But the Vedanta will not become moksha palavati. We have to understand. We are concentrating in what? In moksha. So if you have to get moksha, it has some benefits. We don't say there's no benefit at all. It has some knowledge, but it is not moksha. It will not give you moksha because that knowledge is known completely. So it will give you punya. Krishna is going to talk about later also. For a serious student, Vedanta will give moksha. For a casual student, Vedanta will give punya. He gets punya because he still listens to a lot of good things. So it gives some orientation for him. So that way it will give punya. No problem at all. For a casual student, Vedanta will give still punya. It is not a waste at all. Nobody should think that Vedanta is a waste for me. No. Therefore, tatparaha. If you want moksha, you should be committed to that knowledge. That's what Krishna says. So you should be serious in your pursuit of jnana marga. And this alone we call it tivra jignasa. Mumukshutvam. Mumukshutvam means what? That tivra icha. Without seeing God, I will not. That's what Dhruva Swami says. A 5-year-old child, Narada Swami gave so many things to him. He didn't want to settle for anything. Same thing with Nachiketas too. Yama gave him so many things. He didn't want any of those. He wanted to know exactly what is the ultimate truth. He doesn't want to settle for anything else. That called the tivra iksha. Iksha, that is mumukshutva. Then samyatendriyaha. Samyatendriyaha. This is another qualification. It is control of sense organs. All the sense organs. Indriyaha. Jnanendriyas, karmendriyas, including the mind, you have to control all of them. So, sama, shama, dama, all those things, both are included in this. Of course, all these things are all put together, we call it as sadhana chatushtaya sampattihi. We already told that earlier. So, viveka, vairagya, all those things are all, they all come in that. So, shraddha is also there. Shama, dhamma, uparamati, diksha, shraddha, samadhanam, all those things are also there. So such a person, samyatendriyaha, it refers to here, shama and dhamma particularly. And tatparaha is indicated through tivra mukshutvam, the craving desire. Without that, I am not going to settle for anything. That desire to gain moksha. So these are the two things. So of the sadhana chatushtaya sampatti, some of them are highlighted here, which are shama and dhamma and shraddha. These are the three things which are highlighted here. Okay. So, if a person has these qualifications and then attempts to gain knowledge, that person will certainly attain this knowledge. That's what Krishna assures. And by that, what is the palam? Jnanam labdva, having gained that knowledge, param shantihi adhigacchati. By gaining this knowledge, what he will get? He attains the absolute peace. The peace that surpasses all understanding. That's what he gets. A peace which is not relative at all and which is not dependent upon anything else, any other external condition. This is absolute peace. We can get shanti for so many. For example, if I am happy here, maybe the air conditioning is working well. There is a factor. The air conditioning factor is working. There is all the other things have got, all the other happiness, shanti, they have some relative factor. Depends on this or that for you to be happy. Whereas this shanti is param shanti. It doesn't depend on anything. So, this is called Param Shantim. So, which is otherwise called the Jivan Mukti. There is another term in Vedanta. This is called the Jivan Mukti. A person who has gained this absolute peace. Yesham Brahmi Stiti Partha Nayanam Prapyam Vimukhyati. We have already seen this earlier. So, he attains Jivan Mukti in the form of total Purnatva. He is complete. He is whole. He doesn't lack anything. Aham Triptosmi. Aham Brahmasmi. So that's what that person is now. So total tripti. He is contented. That person doesn't lack anything. He doesn't need anything. Such a person it is. Okay. How long that will take for this person? Okay. Once he reaches the stage, how long it takes for him to gain that stage? Achirena adhigacchati. Achirena. No time limit at all. Just immediately. Immediately he gains. Not after long. Immediately he gains this knowledge. Without any gap, he attains. Why? Because jnanam itself is mokshaha. Brahmavit apnoti param. The one who knows Brahman, he gains param. Param shantim he gets. It is instantaneous. He doesn't have to wait at all for anything. Between jnanam and moksha, there is no time gap at all. You have to only gain knowledge, immediately you have got moksha. You are immediately liberated. Unlike karmakanda. Karmakanda, what is that? That is, you have to do a lot of rituals. In karmakanda, so you have to do this yajna, that yajna, this puja, that whatever. And then we have to wait for a long time to get to swarga. You get all these punya karmas. Then you will go to swarga loka. For that, this life has to end. He has to go through his enda prarabdha, has to end. then he has to go to the Swargaloka, all those things. So first of all, we have to finish our, this lifetime has, Prarabdha has to be finished, right? He has to wait for that long. And then only we can go to Swargaloka. That is the Karmakanda. So in Karmakanda, to get knowledge, we have to do the ritual without any defect also. If you do a ritual for this particular benefit, for example, somebody wants to do some ritual for getting a child or getting that wealth or this or that, you do that ritual. The ritual will give you, provided it was done without any defect. You cannot say, oh, I did it 70% correct, let me get 70% wealth. It doesn't work. You have to repeat the entire thing again. Karmakanda is not forgiving, because there you have to be perfect. If everything is done perfectly, you are assured of the benefit. That's what scriptures say, but to do it perfectly is so difficult. So that's how other conditions, other problems. So then only, so we have to then wait for the karma to fructify at some point in time. I don't know whether it might fructify in this janma, it may not. Then you might wait for another janma. All those things are there. Then only one can get the result if everything goes well. Whereas in the case of jnanam, there is immediate benefit. The moment you gain knowledge, moksha is instantaneous. You are liberated. So we need not do any ritual at all after gaining knowledge. After gaining self-knowledge, no need to do any ritual at all anymore. So no long time also to wait. In fact, achireena, without any time gap, immediately it gives the phala. It gives the result. And if at all there is some gap, which is not really a gap at all, only the gap between knowing and assimilation. I know it, but it has to become part of it. Every cell in my body should reflect that knowledge. So that assimilation, that total assimilation, that alone perhaps may take time, but once it is there, it is instantaneous. So because even after knowing, what we do have many times, we have still the old vasanas, all the negative thoughts, all the negative habits are there, right? Somebody, I know I am Brahman, but how can I believe it? You know, I am a very alpagyaha, alpasaktiman, I am a small person, I am only 5 feet, so many inches. All those things are still there. So to get that viparita bhavana out, it might take some time. But knowledge is still there. Once that thing goes out, then it is instantaneous. Once the habitual reactions, they are all thrown out, then the peace is spontaneous. And that is instantaneous. It does not require any other condition whatsoever. In fact, when we say jnanam, that jnanam only means the knowledge which is free of doubts and old habits. That knowledge alone we are talking about. That knowledge should be free of any doubt and any old habits also. All those things should be thrown out. So till old habits are not gone, we won't call it jnanam at all. It is still jnana marga only. It is not jnanam. It is still not, it is only still in the pursuit of knowledge. Assimilated knowledge alone is called jnanam. Jnanam, which is assimilated, that alone is called jnanam. When that assimilated knowledge is gained, peace is there immediately, it is instantaneously, it is available. Agnyascha
Shraddhadanascha, Agnyascha Shraddhadanascha, Agnyascha Shraddhadanascha,
Samshayatma Vinashyati,
Samshayatma Vinashyati, Samshayatma Vinashyati,
Agnyascha Shraddhadanascha, Samshayatma Vinashyati,
Agnyascha Shraddhadanascha, Samshayatma Vinashyati, Agnyascha Shraddhadanascha, Samshayatma Vinashyati,
Nayam Lokosti Na Paraha,
Nayam Lokosti Na Paraha, Nayam Lokosti Na Paraha,
Nasukam Samshayatmanaha,
Nasukam Samshayatmanaha, Nasukam Samshayatmanaha,
Nayam Lokosti Na Paro, Nasukam Samshayatmanaha,
Nayam Lokosti Na Paro, Nasukam Samshayatmanaha, Nayam Lokosti Na Paro, Nasukam Samshayatmanaha.
So Krishna is talking about the disqualifications here. He talked about the qualifications earlier. Now he is talking about the disqualification. Agnyaha, Ashraddhadanaha, Samshayatma cha Vinashyati. That's what he is telling. An ignorant person, Agnya, a person who is Agnyanava, who doesn't have the knowledge, so he perishes, Vinashyati. And the one who is faithless, Ashraddhadana, the one who does not have faith, he also perishes. And the one who is doubting, Samshayatma, he also perishes. So Krishna talks about all these three people: a person who is ignorant, a person who doesn't have faith, and the person who is doubting. All these three people, they perish. So all these are all negative. Ignorance, lack of faith, and doubts. They are all obstacles to moksha. They are all obstacles. And here also, among the three disqualifications, Krishna is going to condemn samshaya, doubting nature, as the highest one, as the most disqualification. This doubting nature, the worst of three. So ignorance, faithlessness, and doubt, among the three, doubt is the worst. Doubting is the worst. Krishna says, doubt is the worst enemy. And now we have to analyze why he has to say doubt is the worst enemy of the three. For example, there is a person who has self-ignorance. He is an ignorant person. Okay, he doesn't have knowledge at all. See? And but imagine, he has Shraddha. He has Shraddha in scriptures. He has Shraddha in rituals, all those. But he is ignorant. He doesn't have knowledge. Naturally, even though he is self-ignorant and not a liberated person because he is still ignorant, at least what he will do, he will follow what the scriptures will say because he has Shraddha. He will follow what the scriptural vidhis he will follow because he has no doubt in the efficacy of the scriptures. No doubt because he has faith. He believes in them, so he has no faith. He has faith in them. So he may miss the moksha. Yes, he is not knowledgeable, but he is ignorant. So he may miss the moksha, but at least as a result of the ritual, because he is doing it with absolute faith, he will get lot of punya. So he will have paraloka, which is better. So he will have lot of punya. Next birth is a better birth for him. So it's good for him. No problem at all. Even though he has not got moksha. So he has Shraddha, but he has no knowledge. He is Ajnanaman, but he is thing. So Ajna did not give moksha to him because of faith in God, pujas, etc. And some noble karma. He does some noble karma at all and all those things. So he gets at least paraloka or swargaloka or higher loka after death. That is possible for him. So Ajna has some benefit. Even though he is ignorant. Suppose there is a person who is Shraddhadana. He is Ashraddhadana, who doesn't have faith at all. One who does not have faith in the scriptures. No things. So, punyam, papam, birth, you know, punrapijananam, all those things. He doesn't have any of those things. No faith at all, any of those things. He is a Nastika. A person who is a total Nastika. Krishna says, even a Nastika is better. Krishna says, even such a person is better. Because he may not go to temples. He may not do any puja, he may not do any rituals, he might not go to paraloka also. He has not done any punya karmas. No paraloka also for him. But at least for him what happens, as a sensualist, he will totally enjoy this world. He doesn't care about paraloka at all. Only one life to live. Right? He only one life. So, kavo, pivo, maja karo. Enjoy. He is doing all that thing. You know, he is happy. This person is happy and that's what he will say. So he has got what? Iha loka sukham he got. Right? He doesn't care about anything. Dead yesterday, unborn tomorrow. Why fret about them if today is sweet? That's all his problem. So today is good. Let me worry about it and let me be happy. So that's what he is doing. So he has got iha loka sukham at least. So we are not recommending this. Understand? Don't think, okay, Mahala sir. I'm just telling you as information. We are not recommending any of those things. So in a comparative study, you know, we are telling this because compared to that thing. So the aim is something else here. So what Krishna really wants to say is, in the case of a samshayatma, a person who is doubting, both are not available to him. Neither ikaloka sukham, where you have got happiness in this world, nor after birth also, after death also, you have no paraloka sukham. Also, that's for that person, because he does not believe in scriptures and efficacy. Why? This person does not believe in scriptures and efficacy because samshayatma. He doubts everything. Whatever is told, he doubts. He does not do rituals, so he does not go to Swarga. Because if you tell him, if you do rituals, you go to Swarga, he will ask all these questions. Where is the guarantee? Will I really go? This is what is going to be in Swarga? He will have a million questions asking. So at least, can he enjoy worldly pleasures? He cannot also, even worldly pleasures he cannot enjoy. You know, there are people, when you ask them to lock the door and come, he will lock the door and look at the lock million times. He will come 10 steps, again go back, pull it once. And he will make sure the key is inside or outside. He is doubt, everything he doubts. For everything this person has doubts, he can never be peaceful at all. He will be sitting in the plane, he will be suddenly worried, where did I keep my passport? Where did I keep the key? Did I give it to my labor or somebody? Everything he doubts. So such people who are doubting everything, doubting about their own existence, such people can never be happy, either in this world or Paraloka. Because he is not doing all these rituals, because he doesn't have faith in the scriptures also. He doesn't believe in the scriptures also. That's the problem. So if he is sick, he won't go to the doctor also. Because he will worry, the doctor, will he diagnose me correctly or not? Again, doubt. Or will this medicine cure me or not? Another doubt. For everything. So if he has to conduct a function, he cannot give, you know, charge to anybody else also, because there are a lot of people who cannot delegate. This is another problem. Many organizations, the boss, he should know to whom he can delegate what and put faith in that guy. This guy doesn't believe anybody. He cannot give, so everything he has to do himself. So what he can do, it's very difficult for him. So such a person, if he has to take food somewhere, again he doesn't know whether the food can be taken or not, whether there's poison there, everything he will be worried. So what happens? He's samshayatma. If it's such a doubting nature, so ihalokaha api nasti, paralokaha api nasti for that person. So moksha tu dura, very dura taha. It's very, very far away for such a person. Okay, that is what is told here. Samshayatmanaha ayam lokaha nasti. For a doubting person, he cannot enjoy this world at all because of its doubt itself. He cannot enjoy. He may keep on washing the hands million times. I know there are some crazy guys. Each time, my God, the moment you touch, there's this monk, some kind of a TV serial. You know, some monk. I don't know what is this monk, right? There's a monk or monk. Yeah, that guy, you know, for everything he will be, the moment he touches something, he needs some towel or something to immediately. Cannot do that. You won't shake hands with people. All that thing. There are some people like that. So do that. So samshayatmanaha, ayam lokaha nasti. So this is an obsession for some people, doubting nature, doubting everything. And paralokaha api nasti. Because when he has no faith in what is pratyaksha, what is available to you right now, how can he ever have any faith in paroksha vishaya? Never possible at all. So it is far away. And not only so, ihaloka sukam and paraloka sukam nasti, moksha sukam kandipa is, definitely it is not there for him. So sukam can be taken as moksha sukam also, even that is not available to him. So that is also not there because he requires shraddha, and in Vedanta pramanam he has to have shraddha. He doesn't have any of those because he doubts everything. So atma is ekaha, vanekaha, he will always have the question, atma is one or many atmas? Vedanta might teach him Atma is one. He will have the doubt. Who knows? How do he? Who has found this? All that he will ask that question. So there are so many. And he will go to other. As a matter of convenience, he will say, oh, you say Advaita. No, Dvaita is there. Vishishta Advaita is there. Whom should I believe? He will go to all kinds of. He will try to rationalize also. All these things he will do. So we find that he cannot get moksha sukham also. So samshayatma is the worst case among the three. So compared to a person who doesn't have Shraddha, compared to a person who is ignorant, this Samshayatma, the guy who is doubting, he is the worst. So Arjuna, never have any doubt. That's what Krishna is telling Arjuna. So what was Arjuna's problem? The third chapter, what did he say? Jayasi chet karmanaste mata buddhir janardana. He started. And tadekam vada nishchitya yena shreyakam apniyam. So tadekam vada. Tell me one thing, nishchitya. Don't make me confuse this and that. Tell me only one thing. Again, his doubt was what? Whether to do karma yoga or to go to Rishikesh and start doing tapas. That was his problem. Karma yoga means he has to fight the war. He wants to get out of the field and go to Rishikesh and do tapas. That's what he wanted to do. So which is the one, grihastha ashrama or sannyasa ashrama, which is better? That is the doubt he always had. So everywhere doubt only. So Arjuna never had doubts. That's what Krishna was emphasizing. Yoga sanyasta karmanam.
Yoga sanyasta karmanam. Yoga sanyasta karmanam.
Jnana sanchinna samshayam.
Jnana sanchinna samshayam. Jnana sanchinna samshayam.
Yoga sanyasta karmanam. Jnana sanchinna samshayam.
Yoga sanyasta karmanam. Jnana sanchinna samshayam. Yoga sanyasta karmanam.
Atmavantam na karmani.
Atmavantam na karmani. Atmavantam na karmani.
Nibandhanti
dhananjaya. Nibandhanti dhananjaya. Nibandhanti dhananjaya.
Atma
ఆత్మవంతం న కర్మాణి నిబధ్నంతి ధనంజయ.
సో కృష్ణ ఇస్ నౌ ట్రైంగ్ టు కన్క్లూడ్ ద ఫోర్త్ చాప్టర్. సో వన్స్ అగైన్ హీ పాయింట్స్ అవుట్ ద ఫలం ఆఫ్ దిస్ సెల్ఫ్ నాలెడ్జ్. హీ ఇస్ పాయింటింగ్ అవుట్ అగైన్ ద ఫలం. సో ద వన్ హూ ఈస్ అ జ్ఞాని ఈస్ నాట్ బౌండ్ బై కర్మ. The one who is a jnani is not bound by karma. That's what he says. Karma bandhanebhyaha vimuchyate. Here the jnani is defined very, very beautifully here. Three words they talk about jnani here in this shloka. And the first one is what? Yoga sanyasta karmana. Yogaha. Here yogaha, again we should be careful. I told you many times, yoga means different things in different places based on context in Gita. Here yoga means knowledge. Jnanam itself is called yoga. Previously we called yoga as karma yoga. If you remember the previous... Now yoga here means jnanam or self-knowledge. So we should be actually alert. So in the 38th sloka we said yoga is samsiddha. Where yoga means karma yoga and upasana. So just two lokas, slokas later, right now in the sloka 41st sloka, we are seeing yoga is not karma yoga or upasana. It is jnanam itself, jnana yoga. Then what? After practicing jnana yoga, knowledge has come as the result of jnana yoga for this person. That jnanam is called as yoga here. So that jnanam which a person gains after going through jnana yoga, that is called that knowledge. So we are not talking about any other jnana. We are not talking about chemistry jnana, physics jnana, any of those. A person who has gone through jnana yoga and gains jnanam, that is called jnanam. That alone is called. So jnana yoga is what? Pursuit of the study. Jnana marga. Here Krishna, we are not talking about the pursuit of study. Pursuit of study is over. He is already gone through that. Jnana yoga is already gone through. Jnanam has come. Which is so there is no more path anymore afterwards. Karma yoga is a path. Jnana yoga is a path. Whereas jnanam Jnana yoga is also sadhanam only. Whereas this is jnanam. Jnanam is no more a sadhanam. It is the end. That's what Krishna is telling. And at this end yoga, that is at this place, this jnanam, what he has done here now, this person has done? Sanyasta karmana. This person, he has renounced all actions. Sanyasta karmana. Karmas, all karmas, he has renounced. Yoga sanyasta karmana means the one who has renounced all actions through yoga. Yoga here is jnana. So the person who has renounced all karmas through action, through knowledge. And what does it mean? This is the essence of the fourth chapter. Fourth chapter is what? Jnana, Karma, Sannyasa, Yoga. I already explained that in detail at that time. What is Jnana, Karma, Sannyasa? Jnana, Karma, Sannyasa means what? Not stopping the activity at the physical level at all. Keep engaged in doing all actions. It is not Sannyasa, Jnana, Karma, Sannyasa means not renouncing actions. Be in the field of actions all the time. All the slokas which we read from sloka number 18. They are talking about only this thing only. We were emphasizing that Krishna is not interested in physical sannyasa at all. He is not interested in physical sannyasa for somebody to renounce everything and go away. He is not interested in that at all. He wants everyone to be physically active. Physically everything should be active. Then what type of sannyasa he is talking about? His sannyasa is even while the physical body and mind are active. Even while they are active, I should have the knowledge that I am ever actionless. That knowledge. So even though you are in the midst of activity, you should ever have the knowledge that you are ever actionless, nitya sannyasi. That knowledge should be there. So karmani akarma yapashyet. We already saw that thing earlier. Karmani akarma pashyet. So jnanagni dagda karmanam tamahu panditam buddhaha. We have seen all those shlokas earlier. So this word, one word can be understood only if we know the shloka from shloka 18 to 24 or some way. This in this particular chapter. Up to Brahma arpanam brahmahavi brahmagno brahmanahuta. Up to that shloka, if we understand that, then we will know what is it. Jnana karma sannyasa is. So the whole essence of those 6 or 7 shlokas that is fitted in this one word here, that is, and this jnana sanyasta karmana. That is the word. Okay. So karmani akarma drashta. And jnana sanchinna samshayam. That is the second one. The one who has destroyed all doubts through his knowledge. Jnana sanchinna samshayam. Sanchinna means destroyed, the one who has cut off, who has destroyed all of them. All what? Samshaya, all doubts. So through jnanam, through knowledge, this person has destroyed all his doubts. Such a person. The one who has destroyed all doubts through jnana. Through jnana, through clear knowledge. Clearer the knowledge, lesser are the doubts. Once the knowledge is very clear, doubts will become less and less. So if knowledge and doubt coexist, that knowledge is only a pseudonym. If knowledge and doubt coexist, it's not knowledge at all. It is only an information. It is not wisdom. If knowledge and doubt coexist, it's only information. It is not wisdom. So according to scriptures, I am Brahman. This is information. Aham Brahmasmi is information. That according to, it gives you. I know I am Brahman. That is the knowledge. But when according to scriptures, when I am Brahman, many doubts arise all the time. How can I be Brahman? Scripture says you are Brahman. How can I be Brahman? So all those doubts, they arise. So if anyone raises any question to me, immediately I cannot answer to them. I can go and say, somebody, I am Brahman. If somebody asks me back, are you Brahman? That's it, I am done. Maybe I am Brahman or not. Look, immediately maybe. So immediately all those doubts arise because my knowledge is not a firm knowledge. It's not a knowledge without any doubts. So when I am Brahman, according to me, that is called Siddha Prajna. When somebody says, are you Brahman? You say, I am Brahman. Why? Why are you Brahman? Because I am Brahman. That's it. You don't have to give any reason. I am Brahman. Firm conviction. According to whom you are Brahman? According to me, I am Brahman. Nobody need to tell I am Brahman. I am Brahman myself. So that knowledge. So the sthita prajnayam, sthira jnanena. Because this knowledge should be a firm knowledge. Sthira jnanena, nisamshaya jnanena. A jnanam without any doubt. Through that I am convinced I am Brahman. And I know I am Brahman. So all these doubts are eliminated. And to make the knowledge firm, we have to do what? Manana. We have to go on analyzing again and again, asking questions to ourselves, negating it ourselves. Each time all these doubts will come. We have to confront those doubts. We have to convince ourselves. Yes, we are Brahman. All the doubts we have to negate ourselves, going through a routine inquiry, routine process of real revelations. We should go through that. I should independently raise questions. Somebody might raise questions, but I should ask questions to myself. And many objections are possible. They can be raised by me. Somebody need not have to raise. I have to raise all these things and I should find the answers myself. I can use so many other things as aids in arriving at the answer. But I should be convinced that this answer is what the correct answer is. And that I should arrive at it myself. So I myself should stand against Vedanta. Vedanta will tell you Aham Brahmasmi. But you stand against it. You argue it out. You question that. You do everything and convince yourself that statement is a correct statement. And that is how Vedantic study should go. Okay? This is how in the pursuit of knowledge, you are the examiner of yourself. Not somebody else is going to be. You can use others, teachers and all, they help you, they orient you, but you have to convince yourself. So just to study my knowledge, all questions that we put by a nastika, let me ask. No problem at all. So that my knowledge will be firm. But a nastika will ask all those questions. You ask yourself. And then convince yourself that they are all incorrect. And I am. So all the Purva Paksha Siddhanta, these are all methods given in Vedanta. So they will make all these arguments, Purva Pakshis. They will always ask all these questions. They will go through the Purva Paksha Siddhanta and try to negate all of them to come up with the right answer, which is convincing to oneself. So, jnana, sanchinna, samshayam. And then finally, atmavantam. Very effective. Atmavantam. The one who is ever established in atma. Atman. Is atmavantam. Literally it means what? The one who possesses the atma all the time. Vashi, yuktaha. These are all various terms. Atmavan. The person is yuktaha. Integrated person. He is vashi. That means what? All the senses are all in his control. They are all in his fashion. In his control, they are all. He is a Yukta Purushaha. And he is Atmavan. He is integrated. He is having his Atma himself. He is total person. Such a person. The one who never loses sight of Atma. Atmavan here means Atmavantam. The one who never loses sight of Atma at any time.
Many people may have some time. This is all the time he has that consciousness. I am Atma. At all conditions, he remembers that he is the Atma and not the body Anatma. I am different from my body. That is Anatma. I am Atma. And this is the establishment knowledge. This is called Siddhaprajnaha, Jnana Nishtha. This person is Jnana Nishtha. Brahmi Sthiti. We always see all those names earlier. Brahmi Sthiti Bhutva. So, Brahmanishtaha. These are all called such a stage where the person is ever established in Atman or Brahman. And how is that to be gained? Through Nididhyasana. So, Shravanam and Mananam, you removed all the doubts. And now in Nididhyasana process, you have got this knowledge firmed up in yourself, which was indicated in the second chapter. In the Siddhaprajna portion, we already went through this discussion. So it is a firm knowledge. Because whenever any situation comes, we study the situation only as Anatma. Many situations may come. Situations are all related to Anatma. I am ever Atma. I am unperturbed by any of those things. That firm conviction and that knowledge must come. So anytime you see, whenever you look at a situation, we never look at them from the Atma level at all. Look at them from the body level. Look at them from the Anatma level. Look at them from the world level. Okay. So, I as a father, when I look at the family, it is Anatma attitude only. When I say I as the father, I am the father, I am the head of this family. What is this head and tail to the family means? It's all Anatma. It doesn't have to do with Atma at all. That is all Anatma. So, the moment you think you are father, you are head, you are this relation, you have that relation, you have all other things come, depression, reaction, everything comes. They say something to you, immediately you react. Oh, this person questioned me, my ego is questioned. All those things immediately come to you because you associate yourself with the body. The moment you associate yourself with the Chaitanyam, they said something, it doesn't affect you. But you have to correct the situation, that you can do, but without affecting yourself. That is why there are some people, they may be under the most difficult, critical circumstances, but still they will be cool. Because as far as they are concerned, this is a situation to be dealt with, and that's it. It doesn't affect them. So this is that composure one should have. So everything from Anatma Drishti, from the body angle only, Sarira Drishti or Mano Drishti, they are all from those angles only. You will have, if you look at everything from these angles, you will always have complications. From Sharira Drishti, Mano Drishti, if you look at them, any of them, you will have complications. So, when I am detached from Anatma and I am established in Atma, then I look at the situation objectively. At that time, it won't perturb me anymore. Then I will find that I will not call it a problem, I will call it only a situation. Some situation has arisen. It is not a problem for me. So, for example, when your neighbor comes or someone has a problem, they come to your help. We have no tension. We tell them all this advice. We tell everything so nicely to them. Because problem is neighbors, right? It's not your problem. You can give all the advice to him. No problem at all. You are very cool and composed. The same attitude when one has for oneself. Okay, it is the problem of my Anatma. It is not my problem. It is my Anatma's problem. Deal with it also the same way as you would deal with your neighbor's problem. You deal with your body also as that of your neighbor's body. So when we have that attitude, no problem will look like a problem to us. They will look only as situations for us to just to deal with it and just to move on. That's what we should do. So for a jnani, his own body is like that of a neighbor's body only. Even his own body is that of his neighbor's body. He sympathizes with the body. He helps the body also. His body has fever. He helps it also. He runs errands with the body. He does all that thing. He does everything all right. No problem at all. But without the poison, what? What is the poison? It is my body. No. It's the body. So he doesn't have the poison. He, as if he tries to help the neighbor, he helps his own body also. So such a person is called Atmavan. He is the person who is called Yuktaha, is Aktaman, for whom his own body is like that of a neighbor's body only. So this is possible only by Nididhyasana. Without that, with just only Shravanam and Mannam, this is not possible. This is possible with Nididhyasanam because you train the mind. Every cell in the body has assimilated the thought that you are Atma Surupaha and you are not his Anatma. So that is known, and when that is known for this person, that's what he behaves. So constantly, we should ask, look at our situation from this angle all the time. then we have no problem at all. And the person who has come to this status, in short, the one who is established in the knowledge through Shravana, Manana, and Nididhyasanam, Karmani na Nibadhanandi. For such a person, the actions do not bind him. The actions do not bind him means what? The actions do not give him Punya and Papa. It does not give him any of those things. He is ever liberated. This person, he doesn't have this Aham Karta, Aham Bhokta, Bhava, he never has. So this person, he is akarta, abhokta, so karmani, na nibadhanandi. Physically, this person may be exhausted doing a lot of things. He may be exhausted running here and there and all. He may be physically tired person. No problem at all. But mentally, no tension for him. Yes? It's all body's problem. That's what he knows. So in the same way, actions do not bind a jnani at all. So jnani, actions do not bind. Actually, all these ideas Krishna has mentioned earlier all the time. But you know, here he is again, just to give it as an advice to Arjuna to firm up that knowledge. Tasmad ajnana sambhutam.
Tasmad ajnana sambhutam. Tasmad ajnana sambhutam.
Ritsam jnanasi natmanaha.
Ritsam jnanasi natmanaha.
Ritsam jnanasi natmanaha. Tasmad ajnana sambhutam. Hristam jnanasi natmanaha.
Tasmad ajnana sambhutam. Hristam jnanasi natmanaha. Tasmad ajnana sambhutam. Hristam jnanasi natmanaha.
Chitvainam samshayam yogam.
Chitvainam samshayam yogam. Chitvainam samshayam yogam.
Atishtotishta bharata.
Atishtotishta bharata.
Chitvainam samshayam yogam. Atishtotishta bharata.
Chitvainam samshayam yogam. Atishtotishta bharata. Chitvainam samshayam yogam. Atishtotishta bharata.
So Arjuna, I want you also to be free from all doubts regarding karma yoga and jnana yoga. Whether I should do karma or get away. Don't have that doubt at all. Whether I should get jnanam or not, all those doubts should not be there. So which one I should give preference? Don't think of all those things at all. Those questions should not arise in you. That means what? You should have understood the role of each one carefully. What karma yoga does, what jnana yoga does, all those things you should have understood carefully. And what should be correct understanding now? That between karma and jnanam, there is no choice. That is the correct understanding. Whether I can have a choice between karma and jnana, if I want moksha. Karma and jnana, can I have a choice? Karma also plays a role. It gives what? Karma yoga gives you chitta shuddhi. It gives you purity of the mind. Jnana also plays a role. What it does? It destroys ignorance. It destroys self-ignorance. So karma cannot help you in getting you jnana. Karma yoga cannot help you in getting jnana. And jnana cannot help you to get chitta shuddhi. You have to get chitta shuddhi yourself. So, because jnanam what? Aham brahmasmi jnanam is there. Can it give me chitta shuddhi itself? It cannot. Okay. So, what karma can do, karma alone can do. When I say karma, karma yoga. What karma yoga alone can do. And what jnanam can do, jnanam alone can do. So, between these two, there is no choice. One cannot be replaced by another. So, that is number one. One cannot be replaced by another. That we should know. There is no choice. And what is the next thing? What? The order also should be in the same way. You cannot reverse the order. You cannot say, let me gain jnanam first. Let me go to chitta shuddhi later. That is the problem with a lot of us, right? I should know the meaning first. Then I will learn the sloka. All these slokas, all these rituals, I have no interest because I don't know the meaning. I don't know what they mean. Right? That's what people always argue. Because when you argue that is the problem. Here Krishna says, karma yoga first to get chitta shuddhi and then go to jnana yoga, jnana marga, you should go. So there is also no choice. Both are necessary and both cannot be also done simultaneously. You get chitta shuddhi and you go to jnana. In that order only you should go. So first karma yoga for chitta shuddhi and jnanam for moksha, for liberation. So Arjuna, you have to do now karma yoga because you need chitta shuddhi. You don't have the purity now. So you need to do. So karma yoga is what? Fight this war. That's what you are supposed to do. So according to Krishna, Arjuna is not mature yet. Because he was giving all those arguments in the first chapter. You know, all those arguments as if he was talking dharma, he was talking as all those arguments, which are all incorrect. So he is still not mature. So fight this war, get purity, then study shastras and gain knowledge. That's what he says. That is the only marga, that is the only way for you. So he says, tasmat yenam samshayam chitva. May you destroy this doubt regarding karma yoga and jnana yoga. Whose doubts are there? Atmanaha samshayam, your own doubts. So you destroy your own doubts regarding karma yoga and jnana yoga. And what is the doubt? And where is this doubt? Hristham. It is established in your heart. So all these doubts are in your heart. It's not a lip service you are doing. They are there in your mind. It's not just saying verbally you are telling something. It is in your mind. So destroy your doubt which is seated firmly in your heart. And how did this doubt come to you? Ajnana sambhutam. Ajnana sambhutam means it has arisen out of ignorance. This doubt has come to you out of ignorance. Doubt is not born out of papam at all. You have to understand. Doubt is not born out of papam, sin. Doubt is arising out of, it is born out of ignorance only. Any doubt, whether it is chemistry doubt, physics doubt, whatever may be the doubt, it is not born out of sin. It is born out of ajnana, born out of ignorance only. So doubt means what? The understanding is not proper and complete. That's what doubt means. Therefore, this doubt, which is born out of ignorance, which is in your heart, such a doubt, chitva. Chitva means you should destroy. Should be destroyed. How you should destroy them? Jnana asina. Jnana asina. Jnana asina means a sword. So jnana asina means this sword, with the sword of knowledge, you cut this ignorance. With the sword of knowledge, you this understanding. So that I have to do karma yoga initially. That conviction you should have. I should do karma yoga. If I get out of this war, I will not get Chitta Shuddhi, and without Chitta Shuddhi, purity of mind, however much I study Vedanta. That is the problem with a lot of people. When they go to Vedanta classes, still Chitta Shuddhi has not been attained. So Vedanta may do more harm to them than good. So Chitta Shuddhi. So I study Vedanta, it will not enter into my heart at all. It may be appealing in the beginning, but still I cannot live that way, because at some point in time, I myself will say, oh, I know what Vedanta says, Aham Brahmasmi, and that's it. There it ends. We will not live Aham Brahmasmi. If you have to live Aham Brahmasmi, it requires total Chitta Shuddhi. We should do that. So I have to fight this war, and later I have to gain jnanam also. That's what you should understand. So understand where you stand now. That's what Krishna says, and then progress in life. So, jnana asina chitva. And why should you destroy the samsaya? Because we have already seen that samsayatma vinashyati. We have already seen that. Agnyascha, shraddhadanascha, samsayatma vinashyati. We have already seen that. So, tasmat. That tasmat should be connected here. Tasmat, therefore. Yasmat, samsayatma vinashyati, tasmat. So, since doubting person will perish, therefore, Arjuna, you destroy your doubts. And then go on. What you should do? Yogam atishta. Yogam atishta. Take to karma yoga. Here yoga means karma yoga, not jnana. Earlier we said yoga means jnanam. Here yoga means karma yoga. Yogam atishta. Take to karma yoga. Not as a replacement for jnana yoga. Take to karma yoga. Not as a replacement for jnana yoga. But as the first step for jnana yoga. That's what you should do. So you have to take to karma yoga, yoga matishta, have yogam means karma yoga, and take to karma yoga one uttishta, first get up, atishta uttishta, and uttishta. Why you should say uttishta? Because in the first chapter, Arjuna sat, you know, he sat on the middle of the chariot. He just sat, put his bow and arrow down and sat. Now get up. You have to get up now to fight this war, okay? Since he is seated on the ratopastam. See, you know, Yava Muktvarjuna Sankhya, Ratopasta Upavishate. That's what at that time. He just sat. Visrujya Sasaram Chapam, Shokasam Vigna, Manasaha. That's what he said at that time. So Krishna says, first get up, Uttishta, and to start this dharmic war. This is not just some war, this is a dharmic war, and you should fight this. So Krishna has now clarified all of Arjuna's doubts. He talked about Karma Yoga in the third chapter as the preparation, and he has talked about Jnana Yoga in the fourth chapter as culmination. Both he has done. So he has talked about preparatory step Karma Yoga, Karma Yoga, both Karma Yoga and Upasana, and Jnana Yoga here as a culmination. And this, his conclusion is that what? Physical inactivity is not the aim. You should not think I'll be physically inactive. No, that is not the aim. But inner peace is the aim. You should gain that inner shanti. External activity must go on. You can be in the field of activity, but you have to gain inner shanti. So, jnana, karma, sannyasa. That's what he said. And with this, he concludes the fourth chapter. Om Tat Sat Iti.
Om Tat Sat Iti.
श्रीमद् भगवद् गीतासु उपनिषत्सु ब्रह्मविद्यायां योगशास्त्रे कृष्णार्जुन संवादे ज्ञानकर्म संन्यासयोगो नाम चतुर्थोऽध्यायः. Now you can understand what it is. So that's hence the fourth chapter, which is called Jnana Karma Sannyasa Yoga. Now we will take the next few minutes to just summarize this chapter so that this will be complete. So what he says, the first topic that was discussed in this chapter was the glorification of the Gita teaching itself. That was what was talked by Krishna, the first topic here. There he pointed out that this teaching is not authored by Krishna himself. He says it is not my own stuff. This is already in the Vedic teaching. The Vedic scriptures have already given this, which has been there from beginningless times. It is an apaurishaya vishaya. It has been there from beginningless time. Due to some reason, whatever may be the reason, the very same Vedic teaching became weak over the centuries or the millennia. So not because of the weakness of the teaching, but because of the weakness of the people. Because of the weakness of the people, because of the deterioration in their ability, in the Medha Shakti, the Grahana Dharana Shakti, they were not able to understand this and retain practice. Because of that, this has become weak. The teaching, original teaching is not weak, but the people's understanding has become weak. And because of that, this has apparently has become weak. And so Krishna, to revive the very same teaching, Krishna says, to revive the very same teaching, the Anadi Parampara Prapta Vaidika Dharma, that teaching, I am giving you the very same wisdom in a new language. That's all I am doing. Whatever all the ideas are given in the scriptures, I am giving you only the new in a new language. So don't look down upon this wisdom. As much validity given to Vedic teaching, so much has to be given to Gita teaching also. That's what Krishna emphasizes first. So as much Vedic teaching you are giving importance to, same thing you have to give to Gita teaching also. Okay. And the second topic, it gives actually because of Arjuna's question. And the question, the topic was Avatara Rahasya. The topic about avatars. What is this avatar? Arjuna, what he did, he asked the question, how is it that the same Lord Krishna has given the teaching in the beginning of creation, and how is the same Lord Krishna is giving the teaching in the Gita form here also? How the same person could have taught then and could be teaching now also? So it is not Krishna of recent origin. Yes, Krishna is Arjuna's friend now, right? He is of recent origin. How can he believe that he has a Janmashtami? He knows when he was born. So I know when you were born, how can you be there in beginningless time to give the same teaching? That was his question, right? Because Vedic wisdom is very ancient. How can Krishna say, I myself taught both Vedic wisdom and this wisdom? How can he say? And Krishna, as an answer, he gave this avatar. That was the given as an answer here. Avatara is the form taken by the Lord willfully. Avatara is a form taken by the Lord willfully without forgetting his original nature. These are all things which you have to understand clearly. Avatara is taken willfully by the Lord without forgetting his original nature for the sake of blessing the world, for sake of bringing dharma, re-establishing dharma in the world. So each one is important. Form taken by the Lord willfully. Whereas in the case of human beings, what happens? It is not a willful rebirth. It is helpless. Because of my own karma, I have taken another janma now. What janma I will take, I have no control on that. It is based on my karma phalam. So this is what is, so in case of humans, he also takes birth. In the case of Lord also, he also takes birth. But Lord takes birth willfully, whereas human takes birth helplessly. Okay. That is the major difference between these two. Okay? So without, and Lord, what he does? Without forgetting the original nature, he takes birth. Whereas for this person, he doesn't even know what is his previous birth was. Okay, that's, so I am Brahman. Jiva does not know, but the Lord knows I am Brahman. And finally, for the sake of blessing the world, the Lord takes birth. Lord's intention of taking an avatara is to bless the world. Whereas in the case of the Jiva, what happens? It is for the sake of exhaustion of his prarabdha. So Jiva takes birth for the exhaustion of his prarabdha, whereas Lord takes birth to bless the world. So he pointed out that avatara is form taken by the Lord willfully without forgetting his original nature and for the sake of blessing the world. This is a concept we have to understand clearly. So this was mentioned in a few shlokas. Ajovapi sannavyayatma bhutanam ishuropi sannam prakritim swamadishtaya sambhavami atma mayaya. That's what Krishna said. And paritranaya sadhunam, all these shlokas we know very well. Sambhavami yoga. So avatara topic is the second topic which we don't find in any other chapter of Gita. The entire Bhagavad Gita, all the 18 chapters, this is the only chapter avatara topic is given. And the third topic Krishna discussed, he is talking about the liberation. Why knowing the Lord by one gets liberation? Ishvara jnanena muktihi. Ishvara jnanena muktihi. How a person can get liberation by just knowing the Lord, by understanding the Lord. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tattvataha tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mameva sorjana, etc. All those topics. So the topic was what? Sometimes, you know, we say that to get liberation, we have to know Ishvara. That's what we say many times, right? If you want to know, if you want to get mukti, if you want to get moksha, you should know the Lord, right? You should know Ishvara. And sometimes we say to get liberation, we have, so this is one thing. And God realization and self realization, both we say sometimes. Sometimes we say God realization, sometimes we say self realization. So the question might come, which one of them is true? Is liberation arising out of God realization, or realization is liberation arising out of self realization? This question might come. The answer is what? Both of them are true and both of them are one and the same. That is the answer, because they are not two, they are one and the same. The Ishvara and me are not different. So God realization is self realization. So that is the next topic. To indicate this, what Krishna did, that the Lord is actionless. He will discover that he is actionless too. The Lord is actionless, then once he knows Lord is actionless, the person with Jiva will discover that he is actionless too. So one who knows Lord is birthless, he will understand that he is also birthless. So that is the logic. So Ishvara jnanena muktihi. And we should also note the significance of this. Why should he mention Ishvara jnana? Could have mentioned something else. Why should mention Ishvara Jnanam? Because of the previous topic of avatara. The previous topic discussed before this was avatara. So because of that, one may think that Ishvara also has birth and death. The moment we talk about avatara, there is a date of birth, there is a date of death also for Ishvara, for the Lord also. Krishna had a date of birth and there was a date when he was no more. So one might think that the Lord also has a date of birth and date of death. So Ishvara Jnanam means that avataram is only superficial. That we have to understand. When we talk about Ishvara Jnanam, that avataram is only superficial or mithya. The real Ishvara does not have a form, does not have birth, does not have activity, has nothing. So that is the knowledge one should have. So Ishvara Jnanam means that avataras are only vyavaharikam. Okay? They really, Ishvara does not have any such. They are only vyavaharika, means they are only relative world. In the relative world, through mithya, all these things can happen, but it is not absolute truth at all. And the fourth topic is the central topic, jnana karma sannyasa. That is the topic of this chapter, the shlokas 18 through 24. They talk about jnana karma sannyasa. And the essence of this topic is what? That physical renunciation has nothing to do with liberation. Physical renunciation of any work, activity, has nothing to do with liberation or moksha. Whereas renunciation is what? Is understanding that I am ever actionless, even though physically and mentally I may be acting. So that is the knowledge. I am ever actionless, even though physically and mentally I may be acting. So it is knowing, it is understanding clearly that I, the self, the Chaitanyam, am ever actionless. That is the knowledge, in spite of my physical and mental activity. So karmani akarma yaha pasyet. That's what he told. So jnanagni dagda karmanam. These are karmanyabi. All these slokas which we read earlier. Each verse that in that section 18:24 is all important. They all communicate this topic. Okay. So this alone we call it by another name, Vidvat Sannyasa. Vidvat Sannyasi we call it. And that is the central theme. And not only of the fourth chapter, actually in the entire Bhagavad Gita, this is a central theme also. This Vidvat Sannyasa or Jnana Karma Sannyasa. So Krishna wants to teach in the renunciation along with external activity. That was his intention. In the renunciation along with external activity, be active in the domain of activity, be active. But internally renounce. So this is the fourth topic. And the fifth topic is the glorification of this knowledge by comparing it with various other sadhanas. Krishna compared it with various other sadhanas and glorified this one. So Jnana Stuti. Jnana Stuti means the glorification of this knowledge that was discussed. So again we must remember various yajnas were pointed out. What are the Dana Yajna, you know, Dama Yajna, Indriya Samyama Yajna, Dravya Yajna, Ahara Yajna, Yoga Yajna, so many yajnas. Krishna talked about all of them. In the form of yajnas, various sadhanas were enumerated by Krishna. He gave so many sadhanas. And the knowledge itself was compared to an yajna. Self-knowledge itself was compared to an yajna, where the Jivatma oblation is offered to the Paramatma fire. If you remember all those slokas, you are offering your Jivatma oblation into the Paramatma fire. And having mentioned all types of yajnas, then finally Krishna concluded, of all these, Jnana Yajna is the greatest. Of all these yajnas, Jnana Yajna is the greatest because that alone directly leads a person to liberation or moksha. So sarvam karma akilam partham jnane parisamaptite. He already told all that thing here. So whatever you do, ultimately you have to come to knowledge alone. You have to come to Vedanta alone for liberation. And incidentally, he also mentions to get that knowledge also, how to get that knowledge also, he mentions, tadviddi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. So you do all these services to your teacher to gain this knowledge. So tadviddi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. All those things. Don't attempt this knowledge by yourself. You have to gain this knowledge through only a guru upadesha. And what kind of guru he should be? Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. That teacher should be a teacher who was a student himself. He should have learned from a guru and who is also established in this knowledge. So from such a teacher you learn. So you don't just to learn, you are starting from reading some book and this thing and all, because this could be confusing. So you go to a teacher who is a Shrotriya Brahmanishta and learn from that teacher. So the fifth topic was glorification of Jnanam, including Jnana Upayaha. What are the ways to gain this knowledge? And the sixth topic was Jnana Phala, the benefit of this knowledge, which is liberation itself, moksha itself. That is the benefit of this knowledge. But Krishna puts the liberation in different languages. He doesn't call it directly liberation. He calls it by different languages. He said, Mohanashaha, Papanashaha, Karmanashaha, Malanashaha. He calls it by so many of these terms. All these things. So all these are one and the same. A person will be liberated from bondage. So that's what it means. When it's Mohanasha, Malanasha, all those things mean, person will be liberated from bondage. He will be a Jivan Muktaha. He is a Mukta Purushaha. He will be a Jivan Muktaha. And finally, Krishna concludes the chapter. He points out some sadhanas by emphasizing Shraddha as the important sadhana. Having faith in the teacher's words, in the Shastras. That is Shraddha. Shraddhavan Labhate Jnanam. It's a very, very famous statement. Shraddhavan Labhate Jnanam. The faithful, Shraddhavan, the faithful person will definitely attain knowledge. That is this topic. And along with that, he also mentioned some disqualifications also that we saw just now, that highlighting samshaya. Samshaya is doubt. He highlights samshaya as the greatest disqualification, the highest enemy. And this also, there is a famous, this is also famous quotation always, samshayatma vinashyati. Shraddhavan labhate jnanam is one famous statement, and samshayatma vinashyati is also another statement which people quote oftentimes. So these are the few topics in the fourth chapter, and the center topic is jnana karma sannyasa. That is the topic. So that's why the fourth chapter is titled as jnana karma sannyasa yoga. Actually, in fact, Krishna has made the teaching complete in the two chapters, third chapter and fourth chapter. Gita, now if Arjuna said everything is understood, he could have quit. Gita does not have to have the other 14 chapters at all. Gita is over. Bhagavad Gita could be over. But Krishna, Arjuna asked, maybe for our benefit, he has some more questions. So Gita continues. Otherwise, whatever Krishna wants to say is already done. So Krishna, Bhagavad Gita could have been concluded, but Arjuna is asking more questions, and so because he is asking more questions, Krishna has to teach him again, and so Gita continues until the 18th chapter. So we will also continue from the 5th chapter, maybe after two weeks. Next week we are going to have the Veda Sammelanam in Stoutsburg on Saturday. So it is going to be an all-day event, and I don't know whether you have already seen it or heard it anywhere. I will send another email. Maybe I sent an email earlier. So come if you can. Because this is the first time that an organization in the US, in US and Canada, is trying to coordinate a particular event to honor all the Vedic scholars throughout the country, throughout North America. So this, we do it in India. Actually, I just came back from India, visiting so many places. We do it year after year. From 2000 onwards, we have been doing this. Every year we do.